from the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
It's a wonderful day, this terrific Thursday, the fourth day of February. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with news that you can use on this Thursday and every single day. And I'm happy to report our streaming is back up on our website, kslm.news. We had some server issues yesterday, so be sure to tell your friends and family that they can listen on our website. Of course, if you have an Alexa, one of those kinds of devices on TuneIn or Simple Radio, you can as well listen in. And then we have an app as well. So there's lots of ways that you can stay in touch. And also want to remind you that we put this up on the website every morning show, the Political Coffee Show, and a lot of national syndicated hosts that we play throughout the day. You can access their podcast through our website at kslm.news. Just click on the link that says podcast and find the show that you're interested in, and you can re-listen to a show, or if you're out and about or have a morning meeting or you have to be to work at 8 and you can't play KSLM when my show's playing, you can listen to it at your leisure when you want to, and certainly grab that link and share it with friends and family. I have an interesting show today here in the studio solo, but I'm bringing people in, bringing someone in on the line at 8:30 that I think you're going to be most interested in. And I've got some elements of things I'm going to play for you because I think this is where we go from here. Remember, I've been asking the question, where do we go from here? And I am convinced where we go from here is we need to get active. We need to get the information. We need to do what we can do to stay engaged in the process. We need to get involved, become a primary precinct person in our local party. We need to just do all that we can do, volunteer, stay engaged in the process. And there is a battle going on nationally to try to censor and close the mouth of those that I believe are taking leadership, are moving into leadership positions that we are looking to around the country as champions for our values of life and liberty and faith, all of those things that are so important to us. We are looking to those leaders in our country, and the media and the left is trying to silence them, and certainly we know deplatform them as well. I want to play this link because I think it's really important. Soundbite from Laura Ingraham interviewing Governor Kristi Noem. I'm going to play this link now.
Ongoing crime wave. Instead, you know, they're focusing on kneecapping successful GOP governors ahead of 2024. And few have gotten worse treatment than my next guest, Kristi Noem of South Dakota.
These leaders, particularly Governors DeSantis, Governor Noem, they are not following the evidence-based guidelines.
We know that the South Dakota Governor, Kristi Noem, has been a horror.
It's not helping the people in her state who have literally been dying. While she spouts about personal responsibility.
Literally versus figuratively dying, apparently. Well, the pandemic is basically over in South Dakota. Look how far down cases have dropped after the peak in November. And the death rate remained below Cuomo's New York without any lockdowns at all. And like its viral caseload, South Dakota's unemployment rate has also fallen. It's now well below where it was before the pandemic. On top of that, South Dakota is a national leader in the distribution of the COVID vaccine. Governor Kristi Noem joins me now. I don't know what you have left to say after that, Governor, but they are so annoyed by you. Why is that? And why do you have a target on your back when it comes to the American media?
You know, Laura, I really think it's about control. They have used for the last year fear to control people. And in South Dakota, we just took a very different path. We knew the science told us we couldn't stop the virus. We could slow it down and protect people who might be vulnerable and make sure we had enough hospital capacity to take care of those who would need it, but that we were going to do it together and allow people to be flexible to take care of their families and still put food on the table. So, you know, that was a unique approach that for our people really worked well. We did have tragedies and we did have losses, but we also got through it better than virtually every other state. And I think the media hates that because it really is a testimony to what Republicans believe in, what conservatives believe in. We implemented what we always say we believe, and it showed that it really does work and bring more opportunities to families.
And Governor, the New York Times, again, so obsessed with you that they attacked you in this video. This was just last Wednesday.
In Noam's world, restrictions become inconveniences that hold companies back. Noam uses words like want and choose on purpose. She's making it seem like she's giving you freedom, but public health isn't personal responsibility. It's her job. She's the one who's supposed to make tough decisions, but she's offloading that responsibility onto ordinary people.
That reporter sounds quite young, good for her, but you're offloading personal responsibility, Governor? Is that what your constituents believe?
Yeah, Laura, I've never seen a video like that before. That was an outright hit piece, and it was hard to watch because it was full of lies. The truth is that in this country, when a leader, such as a governor, oversteps their authority in a time of crisis, it breaks the foundation of this country. What is the next event that it's okay to do that in? What is the precedent that that is setting up into the future? And I was well aware of that throughout this last year while I was making decisions, that I knew what my authority was, and I didn't want to step over it, and I trusted my people. And overwhelmingly, they appreciated that. They appreciated the ability to get through this in a way that worked for them, their businesses, and our state, that really was an example to the nation.
And Governor Noam, a lot of other issues are bubbling up out there while mm-hmm. you continue to make sure your state is safe and prosperous. There's talk of the battle for the soul of the Republican Party. The party's divided mm-hmm. because of Liz Cheney or someone like an Adam Kinzinger, I guess Mitt Romney. Do you think the party's divided on ideology or even this impeachment farce of a trial next week?
Yeah, I think we're talking a lot about what we disagree on. And I gave a speech a couple of weeks ago about what Republicans need to do and why the American people are so angry with them. And it's because we don't follow through on the things that we say. We said we'd reform health care. We didn't. We said we'd fix immigration policy, and we didn't. And that is really what we need to do as Republicans, is start following through and stop standing up, giving speeches, and attacking each other, but instead work together to really follow through and pursue American opportunity for the folks at home.
But isn't that what President Trump did, Governor? I mean, the America First agenda was wildly successful pre-COVID. Obviously, COVID threw a wrench into everything. But I'm basically focusing on this attempt to lurch back mm-hmm. to the mid-2000s, to a much more interventionist, open borders, pro-China trade type of governance mm-hmm. versus an America First populist approach, which seemed to be really popular. So where's the divide?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, President Trump never forgot about the ordinary, hardworking American. He thought about them every single minute of every day and fought for them. Arthur Brooks told me one time to never get angry on behalf of yourself, get angry on behalf of other people that need help. And that's what President Trump did. He fought for everyday people who got up and worked long hours to take care of their families. So we should not go back to what this country was before him, and we need to make sure that we continue putting America first.
I love that, Kristi Noem, Governor Kristi Noem out of South Dakota, and why I wanted to take so much time this morning to play that clip. Because one, I think it's extremely refreshing to see a leader willing to stand up, keep her message consistent. And there were some key points in her response to Laura Ingraham about the Republican Party that I think we need to hit on. And I know here in Oregon, we would love to have a Governor Kristi Noem. And I joke about it, and I think I'm pretty serious about it. We need to write a book. I need to write a book about the tale of two governors during COVID-19 and compare and contrast what Kristi did in South Dakota to what Governor Kate Brown did here in Oregon, and how the people were here in Oregon as we've walked through this last, tried to get through this last year of all the restraint, all the regulation, all of the fear mongering that happened in our state compared to what's happened in South Dakota. And I've talked about when there's a vacuum in leadership, other things will fill in, right? And it's good to see that there are leaders popping up, even here in Oregon, who are saying, you know what? We need to stand strong for our schools. We need to stand strong for our families and for our businesses. And there are things happening even now where there's going to be some pushback. And we all thought, you know, we called it and kind of joked, it's an election infection. We thought it had something to do with the election, you know, manipulating us. Well, November 4th has happened a long time ago, and we're still under one of the most strongest state regulation regarding COVID-19 in the country. And I maintain that we need to stay strong where we're at. We need to be talking to our local elected leaders. Now, the other reason why I wanted to talk about Kristi Noem, Governor Kristi Noem, and what's happening in South Dakota, and it'll lead into the rest of the conversation we're going to have throughout this morning in this hour, is we have an opportunity under the Constitution. Our states have an opportunity to, when we have federal regulation, we have states' rights. And at 8:30 this morning, we're going to have a constitutional attorney join us. Chris Ann Hall is going to join us for a half an hour this morning. And she's coming to Salem in a couple weeks, and she's going to do a training. And we're looking forward to that. We'll have more details coming up on that. But Chris Ann Hall, I want to talk to her a little bit about states' rights and what we can do as a state when the feds come in with these regulations. And in South Dakota and North Dakota, through their legislature that are primarily Republican, they are looking at ways to go against the Biden administration executive order to stop the Keystone pipeline. So that's something that we need to watch over the next few days, how that plays out over the next few weeks, how that plays out. Because of states' rights, they can say, you know, our rights trump, in a sense, what you're doing, Biden. And talking about executive orders, maybe you had a chance to review this already, but this came across my news feed and I thought it was interesting. Executive orders in the first 10 days, Biden 42, President Trump 6, Obama 5, President Bush 2, President Clinton 2, and Senior Bush 1. So 42 executive orders, and I don't know if you caught what he had said, Biden. He had said that, I'm not making new laws. I'm just reversing bad policy by President Trump. I don't know how you feel about that, but certainly when you have an order like President Trump put in, for every new regulation that the bureaucrats come up with to undo at least two, and then what actually happened, according to Stephen Moore yesterday, it was actually 3 or 4 regulations were reversed under Trump's administration. And for Biden to reverse that and say, nope, we can put more regulation on the people. Again, it's a philosophy, right? Complete different worldview of how to operate government. And it's just making government bigger. It's putting more burden on you and I, the people. We're going to talk a little bit about that in the next segment of what's happening here locally in Oregon and why we need to stay engaged in the process and let our elected leaders say, nope, that doesn't work for me and my family. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
This morning.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. 39 degrees here at the KSLM studios. It's 8:22 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in. And certainly there is a lot going on throughout our community. And it's nice to see, whether it be by Zoom or now meetings in churches, there's stuff going on. We want to get plugged in and certainly do our part to stay engaged in the process. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to Raquel. Raquel is, it's her birthday today. And she and her husband are great patrons. Patriots. And her husband, Chris, has been very, very sick and in the hospital. And we're keeping him in our prayers. And Raquel, I hope, despite all of that, you have a fantastic birthday. Thank you for being my friend and being a patriot. You're a true hero in my eyes in many, many ways. And so we're continuing the conversation this morning, friends, in regards to what we can do to stay engaged in the process, how we can be filled with information so that not only when we're having conversations with our coworkers, our family members, we're equipped when they throw out the little talking points of the left. We actually have information to back up what we're talking about. That's so important. And it's important that we understand why we need to get engaged in our culture. Coming up on the 14th of February is a class taking place at People's Church. It's biblical citizenship. It's a wonderful class. I have friends that are taking it online. I have friends that are flying in this weekend to the Las Vegas area to attend in person. And the Wall Builders, if you know the Bartons from the Wall Builders, there's several people involved in teaching these classes online. And we're going to have an opportunity to attend this class through the Patriot Academy here in Salem. It's a few weeks long, several weeks long. I don't quite remember. I signed up, but I don't quite remember how many weeks. It starts on the 14th of February at 11:30 a.m. at People's Church. And so you can go to patriotacademy.com and get signed up. Also, there's a couple other community events happening on February 18th. There's going to be a virtual breakfast with the new chief of police here in Salem. So you can go to the salempolicefoundation.org and sign up for that. And then coming up February 19th and 20th, Chris Ann Hall will be here at the River Church. Get signed up for tickets. I have a feeling that's going to fill up. She's here Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th. And Chris Ann Hall will be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. And we'll get to talk to her a little bit about some constitutional questions that we have. Virtual Lobby Day for Oregon Right to Life is coming up February 25th. And so you want to put that on your calendar. And then we don't have a date confirmed yet. We're still working with Suzanne Gallagher, who will be a guest next week, about the Safe School Summit date. Some things have been moved around with that. So those are things to consider. I want to say congratulations and a shout out also to our Chamber of Commerce. The Oregon State Chamber of Commerce announces Main Street Matters class action lawsuit and legal fund. And I'll put this up on our Facebook page so you can access this information. It's really good. The article has a picture of a close sign due to COVID-19 pandemic. And this legal fund says, in November, the Oregon State Chamber of Commerce launched the Main Street Matters campaign to advocate for our small business members. With the guiding belief that our small businesses have been extremely responsible to our community and to the COVID-19 guidance coming from the CDC and state, our local businesses deserve the same consideration as the large corporations that have prospered due to elimination of small business competition and our government employees that have been kept whole. The remedies to small business currently being offered by the state are completely inadequate to cover the forced business closures, and shutdowns are sending our employees into a failed still state unemployment system when they could be earning full paychecks. As a part of the Main Street Matters campaign, we respectfully request that all small businesses and their local communities ask the governor, lawmakers, and health officials to immediately reopen all Oregon small businesses, provide substantial remedies to our local businesses that have been forced shut down through no fault of their own, as the state has deprived these businesses and employees of their livelihoods, create a $75 million hospitality relief fund dedicated to helping our state's restaurants and hospitality businesses recover, enforce a moratorium on new and increased taxes and fees at the state and local level that would deprive our businesses of needed cash flow, help stabilize the commercial rental market through a short-term tax credit for property owners that are willing to waive debt for commercial tenants that are behind on rent. And this appeal is going to the lawmakers, health officials, to the governor. And certainly we want as many businesses to join this across the state. We'll put this link up on the website. And I do think it's important that those of us that don't have businesses, those of us that can contribute to this fund, we all need to work and do our part to get this this economy going again and get our businesses and reinforce our businesses. I know so many of you. In fact, right now there's a campaign through the Salem Chamber of Commerce to try to highlight our businesses that are doing patio dining or takeout dining through Salem Eats, which is a wonderful program. And it's a networking of what restaurants are open, what they're doing, sometimes links to their menu so you can order online, all of those things. We are being so creative of how to help one another, and we need to continue to push through this time. But again, by calling our local elected leaders, by letting them know how this is impacting you personally, your friend, your family, your stories make a difference. And by continuing to call, write, email, do those things, they have to respond at some point, right? They can't continue to make these laws. And now, if you listen to Political Coffee this morning, Jeff's talking about they're bringing back the idea of a sales tax and looking for more ways to tax you and I. It just doesn't make any common sense to me. And speaking of common sense, did you hear that? This is exciting. And I think it's going to be a big task for him. But former HUD Secretary Ben Carson is launching a conservative think tank to provide common sense solution to some of our nation's biggest problems. I'll put this link, too, up on our Facebook page because, you know, that's where I think I am just so perplexed, because it seems like common sense has just been is gone, and things that are practical and make sense to us on how to approach what's happened and the threat of this disease. And we're about that 1 year mark, the first part of March. We're at that 1 year mark where in Oregon everything got shut down. And I understand for 2 weeks, we said flatten the curve for 2 weeks, but it's been how many weeks now? Almost 50. Yeah, it's time that we open things back up and get back to living, right? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Coming up next, Chris Ann Hall. We're going to talk Constitution and what we as individuals have in our liberty and our freedom. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Hey, yeah, you. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a friend.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. 39 degrees here at the KSLM studio. Want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give Dave and Paige a call at 503-939-7099. I've been excited about this interview for a while, and on the air with me, I have Chris Ann Hall, and Chris Ann Hall is a wonderful patriot, I will say, and she was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, and began her career as a biochemist, Russian linguist for the U.S. Army, and the prosecutor for the state of Florida. She also practiced First Amendment law for a prominent national nonprofit law firm. She received her undergraduate degree in biochemistry from Blackburn College and her J.D. from the University of Florida, Levin College of Law. I can go on and on about Chris Ann, but I want to get to some good topics. Chris Ann, good morning to you this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I am so excited to have you on the air, and I've had so much fun watching you and JC on your podcast. We used to have you on the weekends here at KSLM Radio. In fact, people were like, where did Chris Ann Hall go? But you kind of pivot. You did a shift, and now you do a podcast in the evening with JC, and you bring us practical insight on what we're facing each and every day. And I so appreciate your perspective on the Constitution. Talk to us a little bit about the constitutional crisis we're under right now.
Well, you know, it's amazing because I study the Constitution through history, and history has never failed in teaching me about what's happening today and what will happen in the future. As a matter of fact, Patrick Henry, in his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, said, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that's the lamp of experience. I know no way to judge the future but by the past. And I learn from the wisdom of people who learned through decades, you know, centuries of history as well. And when we're talking about what's the insanity that is happening today, the only thing, the one thing that repeats in my mind is something that Samuel Adams said. He said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberty, nor be easily subdued, when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved."
Hmm.
He said, on the contrary, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And we have seen in the last year more damage done to our individual rights, more destruction to our economy and to our own businesses and our own livelihoods by our own hand at the state and local levels than we have seen in decades by any kind of foreign threat.
You're exactly spot on. And one of the challenges that I've found is that people just want to go along to get along. They don't want to cause a ruckus. They don't want to be labeled as, you know, someone that is insurging, those kinds of things.
Right.
So when we talk about the Constitution and some of these states where we have some strong governor leadership, can you talk to us a little bit about state rights versus when we have federal regulation coming in, 42 within the first 10 days, you know, by Biden, these executive orders coming in from the executive branch of the government, enforcing these things and impacting states. These states are starting to rise up. Talk to us about states' rights.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. At LibertyFirstUniversity.com, we have all this online training. And one of the most popular and powerful lessons that we have is on state sovereignty. Because our founders were very clear, and this was one of the major discussions that they had when it was time to ratify the Constitution. How do we ensure that we do not create a constitutional republic where over time we find ourselves living in a kingdom again where the federal government has consumed so much power, has become so powerful over the years that they actually consume the power of the states? And so James Madison, you know, we call him the father of the Constitution, wrote in a document that we call Federalist 45 about the separation of powers between the state and the federal government. And what's very, very interesting is when you understand how the states were created, what the Constitution is, what kind of legal document it is, how the federal government was created, it becomes so simple to understand. We are actually deceived in America today to think that the Constitution is too complicated for people to understand. The Constitution is too, that you have to have a law degree or you have to spend decades studying it. That actually is a deception, disinformation fed to the American people to keep you from studying and understanding how simple all of this is to understand and apply. And so the basic fundamental principle that we must understand is that specific limited power is specifically enumerated in the Constitution to the federal government. They actually made a list. And Alexander Hamilton, who's the biggest government guy that we have, said to his generation, why in the world would we make a list if we meant for the federal government to be able to do whatever they can imagine or pass by law?
Mm-hmm.
We made a list to confine them. The 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated, the powers not specifically on that list, are reserved to the states, which means that the states are the higher power and the federal government is the lower power. So what we need governors to understand, but more importantly, and I believe more relevantly, what we need the people of the state to understand so they can elect governors that know, and they can, if they don't have a governor that knows, they can convince and convert the governor to know, and they can hold governors, sheriffs, and local politicians accountable for, is the fact that the state has not only the authority but the duty and the obligation to deny federal power in the state that is not specifically delegated. So let me tell you what that means. That means the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has no lawful authority in your state. The FDA has no local authority in your state. And the list goes on and on of all this undelegated power.
That's very good and a great reminder. And of course, we have such a compare and contrast between the state of South Dakota, which I lived for 28 years and know Kristi Noem. And we played the first of the first segment, a piece from her talking about the challenge and what's happening there. And here, Governor Brown, and I know you've been to our state and you've actually done some videos directed to Oregonians about our constitutional awareness, and you are coming to our state here next week in a couple weeks to do some more training and advocacy. And when you have a governor who has taken on through executive emergency clause orders all of this power, it feels like, in fact, her nickname here is Queen Kate. So what can ordinary citizens like myself and our listeners do to get equipped with information to say, no, this is not how it should be? What can we do?
Well, you know, we can follow the progress and the plan that our founders put in place through their actions, through history. And the first step is always education. Remember, Samuel Adams said, when people become ignorant, universally ignorant, and debauched in their manners, that means they've got no courage. Well, you can't have courage without education, without understanding. So we have to educate the people, then we have to organize them, and then we have to activate them. You can't do it in any other order, because you can't organize people unless they understand what they're joining together for. And people cannot be effectively and successfully activated if they don't know what they're fighting for. And so we are going to be, JC and I are going to be in Salem, Oregon on February 19th and February 20th at the River Church, which is 2945 Portland Road Northeast in Salem, Oregon. So on the 19th, I'm going to be teaching from 7 to 9 p.m. It's actually a history lesson where our founders teach us, now you've got a tyrannical government both on the state and local level, where do you go from here? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a lesson from those who lived a successful government control life and learn how to apply that here. And then on Saturday, February 20th, we'll be teaching that lesson again. It's going to be an all-day workshop that starts from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., at the River Church. So if you can't make it Friday night, you gotta come Saturday. And we have such an amazing, this is going to be for people who want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. People who are sick and tired of being behind their keyboards complaining, sick and tired of hearing people complain, come and get equipped and armed with truth so we can get activated. So we start off with the lesson, where do we go from here? We learn about government overreach at the state and local level. And then there's a lunch break. And then after lunch, we'll be teaching combating socialism and forgotten founders.
It sounds like it's exactly the right time for this class in this training. Mm-hmm. These are the questions that I've been asking since after the election. Where do we go from here? You have solutions and answers, and I'm so excited to have you here at the River Church in Salem. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to ask you a couple more questions when we come back from this break, Chris Ann. I've got a couple more questions that have been rolling through my head as far as how to stay active, how to stay engaged. And I want to hear a little bit more about your background, because I'm reading here that you have not always been a conservative activist, and I want to hear a little bit more of how that changed in your life. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Chris Ann Hall on the line with us. So excited to have her coming to Salem February 19th and 20th. If you don't have your tickets, friends, You need to get registered now. Go to the River Church, NW.com. Get signed up. We'll be back. KSLM, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. Just want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. If you have any insurance needs, get a hold of Bill Sunderland, sunderlandagency.com, or give him a call, 503-885-0789. Having a wonderful discussion with Chris Ann Hall. Her website, chrisannhall.com. And Chris Ann, it's fun to be talking to someone else who has Ann in their name as well. It must be kind of a Southern thing, but I'm looking here, you know, St. Louis. I lived in Arkansas for a little bit. That's the South, really, you know. And
they wouldn't agree with that.
We generally
define the North and the South based on, you know, the war between the state standards, uh-huh. and Missouri was half and half.
So it really was.
At any given moment, you can find somebody that would say, yeah, we're the South, but, you know.
Yeah.
If you allow me to correct myself, I actually made a mistake on the Saturday class.
Okay, go ahead.
At the River Church in 2945 Portland Road Northeast. In the morning, we are going to be teaching government overreach, but the second class is actually a really, really great class that my husband teaches called the Morality of Resistance.
Mm.
And this is for people who deal with those, or maybe themselves, don't understand that the Bible commands us to be not just simply involved in government, but in challenging in the face of government that is operating in a tyrannical way against the rights of the people. So this is the response to the pastors and the Christians out there that say, oh, well, you're just supposed to pray. You're not supposed to be involved in government. And you know, we can't really challenge. We must simply submit to everything the government says.
Oh, and I'm so glad to hear you talking about that, Chris Ann. And it'll be great to hear from JC, because that's what I've heard a lot since I've been here. I've been back a year. I went to high school here, moved away for almost 30 years, and then I'm back. And that's what I keep hearing from the Christian leadership, or I would like to call them patriot pastors, like, oh, we got to give to Caesar. We got to obey the local laws and government. It's like, wow. And yet we have other pastors who are just champions, right? They've not closed down one day. If anything, they've increased their outreach and their ministry. And I think this is really important aspect that you bring up. And I'm glad that you're bringing that training to what I'm going to call kind of a citizen boot camp, right?
And
getting us engaged.
Absolutely.
Yes. And now tell us a little bit. We've got about 4.5 minutes or so. Tell us, have you always been a Christian conservative fighting the good battle, or was there like a big conversion that happened in your life and a moment that you're like, oh, I need to move some things around in my thinking?
I would call it a big conversion, but but that somehow maybe gives the wrong impression to people when you think about a big conversion, maybe of an epiphany moment.
Right.
I didn't have an epiphany moment. My brain is too stubborn for that. So it was more of a sanctification process, right? So when people get to know me, they understand that I'm very passionate about what I believe in. And I'm also very persistent and strong-willed. And so I don't do anything halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things you learn about me now. Understanding that I wasn't born a constitutionalist, I was actually raised to be more of a socialist. So I was really a hardcore socialist in my younger years. And you know, I'm not going to get into the gory details, but just imagine this Chris Ann Hall personality as a hardcore socialist, and you get a small idea of where I was and how aggressive I was with that. And it really was something that changed me over time, that began in about 1992, mm-hmm. When I graduated from college and started realizing that taxation is not built on fairness, mm-hmm. but quite the opposite. And so all of that happened over time. And if you want to hear that story, that transformation story, then I'm going to have to ask you got to come to Pastor Lou Wooten's church, the mm-hmm. River Church of Portland, and learn all on Portland Road in Salem there, Oregon, to learn about that. So we're really grateful for Pastor Lou, because he's one of those people mm-hmm. who is standing firm on his beliefs, firm on the Word of God, and is not going to give in. And we need more pastors like that, as you said.
One of the things that I appreciate about your story, Chris Ann, is you get it. You understand. You know where these folks are. It's almost right. like they're blinded, and yet they're so passionate, as you said, about their positions. And unfortunately, sometimes they're not open to looking at it at a different angle. And it is a process. Our hearts in this lifetime is a process. And one of my favorite sayings is, for people of faith, you'll get this, that Jesus doesn't clean his fish before he catches them. It's a process. Yeah. It's a process, isn't it?
It is, and I'm actually, one of the hats that I wear I'm a professor at the River University in Tampa. We have a River School of Government, which is an arm of River University. And one of the classes that I teach is a communications class on how to convince and convert. Mm-hmm. And we have to regain that art. And we have to understand that people like me the way I was. You know, giving them facts and speaking at them and speaking to them is never going to change them. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the art of convincing and converting, which means you have to be a master of what you know first. And then you have to be able to know the audience that you're speaking to so that you can reach them. And that's part of what we're going to do in this Citizen Boot Camp. That's going to be Saturday, 20th of February at the River Church. I'll just give the address one more time, because I kind of fumbled it in my mouth the other day, earlier, was 2945 Portland Road, Northeast Salem, Oregon. And so please join us. You will not be disappointed. And I will give this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Come for the first hour. If you think after the first hour you didn't learn anything that will change your life, then you have my permission not to stay all day. But I'm absolutely confident that if you come for the first hour, you will stay the whole day. So make sure you plan to stay the whole day, but take the first hour test.
I love it. And would you encourage our listeners to bring someone that's on the fence, maybe not sure how they feel about their getting involved, getting engaged? I think that would be a great idea. If you can bring a friend who needs a little more information and let Chris Ann and JC do the educating, I think that's a good plan. What do you think?
No, I think that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Bring somebody that's on the fence, because We are nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach all kinds of groups. I've taught a whole room full of Bernie Sanders supporters mm-hmm. on the Constitution and local government. So bring somebody that's on the fence. Assure them that we will be teaching from history, from documents, from truth. But I'll also challenge people to bring their young people.
Mm.
We have young people who learn under us. And I'm talking like middle school, who are so compelled by our presentation. Because we're not a bunch of, you know, Bueller, Bueller, Bueller.
Right.
Very dynamic teaching, and your young people will need to get it too.
Thank you, Chris Ann Hall. I'm looking forward to meeting you when you and JC arrive in a couple weeks. Thank you for your time today. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. God bless.
ChrisAnnHall.com for more information to sign up for the classes that she is doing in a couple weeks. Go to the River Church therivernorthwest.com. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. This broadcast will be saved on the website as a podcast. You can grab it later and share with your friends and family. Have a fantastic day, friends.